8 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to begin in verse 40 and read through verse 42. 40 through 42. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon the preaching of the word of God. And we ask, Lord, that as we open the scriptures this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to understand the lesson that you have for us today, especially us as dads. Help us to take what we learn and apply it in our lives and in our homes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, ladies, I'll tell you this. You can sit back and relax this morning because I am preaching primarily to the dads. Not that there won't be anything in the message for you, but this morning I'm preaching primarily to the dads in this room. You know, today with so many single moms raising their families alone, it's easy for us to think of fathers as being dispensable. Reminds me of the story of the children that begged their mother to get them a hamster. And after all the usual vows, you know, oh, we'll take care of it, we'll feed it, we'll clean it, you know, she finally gave in and got them a hamster, and they named it Danny. Well, about 3 months later, when mom found herself responsible for the cleaning and the feeding of the creature, she decided to locate a new home for Danny. Well, the children took the news of Danny's imminent departure very well, a lot better than she had anticipated. As a matter of fact, the only one of the kids said anything at all, and all he said was, well, you know, he's been around a long time and we'll miss him. That's all she got for reaction. But she went on, she said, well, you know, he's too much work for one person, and since I'm the one person, I say he goes. Now somebody go and get his cage. And when she said, go get his cage, there was this stunned look on their face. And all of a sudden, with one voice, they started crying and weeping and wailing. And she was startled, and she looked at him, and she said, what's wrong? What's wrong? And they said, Danny, you're getting rid of Danny. We thought you said Daddy. Yep, no weeping when Daddy was leaving, but lots of weeping for little Danny, you know. Well, today we're celebrating Father's Day. A little boy described Father's Day this way. He said, Father's Day is just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the gift. And I don't know about that. I appreciate my gift. My kids gave me a tie. You often hear me make jokes that if it wasn't for ties and socks, fathers would get nothing on Father's Day. But my kids got me a tie that says, we love Dad, and it's got the names of my children printed all over the tie. So that was a pretty good gift. I appreciated that this morning. Well, like I said, this morning I want to talk to you about fathers. And I want to talk to you about a father from the Bible named Jairus. You know, I've been a Christian for almost 42 years, and I don't think I have ever heard a sermon on this particular dad. But he was a very special dad that today's dads can learn some things from. Now, before we get into the heart of this sermon, I want to share with you some things about Jairus. Number one, of course, we read that he was a ruler of the synagogue. That means he was the overseer of the daily operations of the synagogue. He did the things that, you know, the average pastor does today for the church. He did things like arrange the services. He was responsible for the custodial duties, making sure the house of God was kept clean. He chose those who read the scriptures and who would speak. And he was well known and well respected in the community. This was a very prestigious job that he held. He was a ruler of the synagogue. But also, of course, we read he was a father. He was a father. And the scriptures tell us that he was a father of a sick girl. There in 42, and behold, verse 42, for he had one only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. Now, we don't know this little girl's name. She's usually just referred to as Jairus' daughter. But we do know her age. We do know she was 12 years old, and pretty much that's all we know about her. But at the same time, we know that she knew some things about her dad. For example, she knew her dad was a very prominent man in the community. Have you ever thought what it would be like to be the child of a very prominent person? You know, if you had your pick of prominent people, who would you like to have as a father? Many years ago, I think it was the New York Times, just before Father's Day, did a poll asking people that question. If they had to choose a prominent dad, who would they choose? Now, the answer to this will let you know how long ago this poll was taken. Because overwhelmingly, when that poll was taken, Lorne Greene, also known as Ben Cartwright on Bonanza, he was the very number one choice of dads in the country. Well, Jairus's daughter grew up knowing that her dad was a very prominent dad in the community. But I also think this, not only was the ruler of the synagogue, not only was the father, but I believe she probably thought that he was an old-fashioned dad. You know, most children, when they reach a certain age, and it's usually right around 12 or 13 years old, they think of their parents as old-fashioned. You know, as children grow up, they grow up in a world that's a little bit different than their parents grew up in. And so often they consider their parents to be old-fashioned and out of touch with today's world. Many children think their parents don't have the sense to get out of the rain. But what they don't realize is that their parents are a lot smarter than they think, because whatever the kids are going through, their parents have already been through. But when they try to give warning, you know, they're branded by their children as old-fashioned. Reminds me of the story of two senior citizen ladies who, after many, many years, they met for the very first time since they graduated from high school. Well, one asked the other, said, you know, you were always so organized in school. Did you manage to live a well-planned, well-organized life? The lady said, oh, yes, I did. She said, my first marriage was to a millionaire. My second marriage was to an actor. My third marriage was to a preacher. And my fourth marriage was to an undertaker. Well, her friend Esther said, well, what do these marriages have to do with a well-planned, well-organized life? Well, remember the order: millionaire, actor, preacher, undertaker. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Now, I have to be honest with you, that has nothing to do with my sermon this morning, but I heard that this week and I knew I had to stick it in somewhere in here. But you know, this idea that parents are old-fashioned can sometimes create some problems in the home. And that's because, of course, parents think the old way of life was and still is better than the new way of life. And children think the new way of life is better than the old way of life. Now, we don't know much about the way Jairus' daughter thought about her dad. You know, perhaps she was like many 12-year-old kids who think their parents are old-fashioned. I just don't know. However, what she thought as a child is not really important in this passage, because Jairus, the father, is the focus of attention in this passage of Scripture, not really the daughter. Now, I want you to think about this. What kind of father was he? What kind of father was he? And first, let me say this. He was a father who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. He was a father who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Verse 41 says, "And behold, there came a man." Now notice that. Notice the scripture says there, "Behold, there came a man." The Bible tells us that Jairus came to the Lord, and you didn't have to guess what he was. The Bible says he was a man. Now, for what it's worth, I'm going to give you this morning my opinion of manhood. Okay, this is just my opinion of manhood, right? I believe this. I think every man should strive to be the kind of man you'd like your son to become. I think every man ought to strive to be the kind of man that you would love for your daughter to marry. And I think every man should look like the kind of man who, when he walks down the street next to his wife, he looks like her husband and not her sister. I really believe that. I think men should strive to be the kind of men that God created them to be. If God wanted a man to look like a woman, no, never mind. I'm not even going any further with that. I'm just going to leave it right there. Enough said. Be quiet, Brian Sperone, before you get yourself in big trouble. So I'm going to leave that one alone right there. But I will say this. In a recent poll, American men and women were asked if they would marry the same person if they had to do it all over again. Now, I hope none of the women in this church was in that poll, because this is what came out. 80% of the men responded that they would marry the same woman. However, only 50% of the women responded that they would marry the same man. And I think this is because many men are losing their identity as being men. Notice the Bible refers to Jairus that came to Jesus saying, "There came a man." And notice that he came to the Lord in a manly fashion. Jairus stepped up without reservation. He openly, without fear of public opinion, fell down at Jesus' feet. Notice he did not send his wife for this job. He did not send one of the other children for this job. He did not send a servant for this job. He was a man. He was the family leader, and so he stepped up to the plate, and he went to Jesus himself as the head of the family. When a crisis came, he took the initiative to go to seek the Lord for the answer. He stepped up and sought Jesus on behalf of his family. He took his responsibility as a dad very seriously. You know, I think one of the main reasons that our nation is in the mess that it's in today is because our fathers are out like seeking golf balls instead of seeking God. Men today will actually send their wife to church and send their children to church, but then not go themselves. There are tons of churches right now that are really struggling because they have hardly any men going to church. It's all women and all children and hardly any men. And I think this, what a difference it would make if this generation of fathers would seriously seek the Lord like we're instructed in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." It would make a major difference in our homes. It would make a major difference in our churches. It would make a major difference on the workplace. It would make a major difference in our community. It would make a major difference in our nation. You see, Jairus was that kind of a man. He was a man who was not ashamed to seek Jesus. Now, secondly, let me say this. He was a dad who was not ashamed to invite Jesus to his house. In fact, if you notice, he begged him to come to the house. There in verse 41, behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue and fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him, begged him that he would come into his house. Now, can you imagine that phone call if they had phones back then? Honey, I just want you to know that I'm bringing home company for dinner. Oh, really? Who are you bringing? The Son of God. I imagine that would startle any wife, you know, bringing home the Son of God to the house. But that's what he did. That's what he did. And we need men like Jairus. He kind of reminds me of Joshua in a sense that Joshua not only spoke for himself, he spoke out for his family in Joshua 24, 15 and said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He took a stand and he made a decision. And his message to today's dads would be, look, you dads can, you know, chase golf balls all over the place if you want to. And this morning I'm picking on people who play golf. It could be anything, any excuse a man might give for not being faithful to God and not being faithful to the house of God. But he might say, you dad, you can chase golf balls all you want to on the Lord's day. But as for me and my house, we're going to be in church and we're going to serve the Lord. Did you know that really, by the world's standards, to qualify as being a good dad today, all you have to do is really just kind of take your kid to the ball game or take your kid fishing, do some activities with him. If a dad will do this, someone is bound to say, oh, he's such a good father. He takes his son to the ball game and he takes his son fishing. But in God's eyes, that is not what makes a man a good dad. Now, there's nothing wrong with these things. You need to be spending time with your kids. There is no doubt about that. But doing these things, that does not make you a good dad. There's a lot more to it than that. See, your children are going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And you play, as a dad, you play a major part in leading them to Christ by your word and by your example. Jairus was a good dad. He carried his daughter's needs to the Lord. As a matter of fact, not only did he do that, but in Matthew's account of this story, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, it says, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him. He worshiped Jesus. You see, there's more to being a good dad than just doing activities with your children. We need to let our kids see us honoring and worshiping the Lord. We need to take them to church, not send them to church. We as dads need to read the Bible to them. We need to pray with them. We need to live the Christian life before them. That's what it takes to be a good dad. And I say this, oh, that God would give us dads who would invite Jesus into their house, dads who would put Jesus first in their life and in their home, dads who, like Jairus, are not ashamed to seek Jesus and are not ashamed to invite Jesus into the house and make Jesus the center of the home and family. And then third, and finally this morning, Jairus was a man who trusted the Lord with his family. Now, if you go down to verse 49 in this chapter, because after verse 42, Jesus has a little encounter with a woman with an issue of blood, and he heals her of that. And then the story of Jairus picks up again in verse 49. Okay, so we're beginning in Luke 8, verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. See, Jairus believed that children are a gift from the Lord, and they really are. They are God's gift to us. And so when his child had this great need in her life, he went to the Lord with that need because he knew that she was a gift from the Lord, and he knew that the Lord had created her, and he knew that the Lord could heal her. He really believed that children are a gift from the Lord. Now, today, we hear some politicians talking to us, trying to convince us that our children are a gift from the state. They see our children as potential voters, and they want to do everything they can to try and brainwash them early, to get them to believe what they believe. But I can tell you this: God is not going to hold the state responsible for the raising of your children. He's going to hold you and I as parents responsible. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That was not written to the state. That was written to the parent. That's our responsibility. In Ephesians 6, 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, not written to the state. That was written to the dads. That's an admonition to parents. And would that God would give us dads who would commit their children into the hands of Jesus and then do whatever it takes to set the good example that needs to be set before the eyes of their children. Because really, there is nothing more important as a dad than the raising of your children. It ought to be the top priority in your life. It's something nobody else can do but you. Nobody can replace you as the dad. I have a t-shirt that says, Dad, the hardest job you'll ever love. And it's not easy being the dad, but it is a job that is well worth putting the time in. Now notice, as Jairus was seeking the Lord, as I said, he received the message that his daughter had died. But we read through this passage, and thankfully and miraculously, Jesus raised her up. And I'm sure this girl that was raised from the dead remembered her dad as long as she lived, knowing that if her dad had not gone to Jesus, she would not have been raised from the dead. You see, all of our children are born in sin and are spiritually dead. But if a dad does his job well and seeks the Lord on their behalf, they one day in heaven are going to realize that the reason they're there is because they had a godly dad that sought the Lord on their behalf. And so the question is, Dad, what do your children see in you? What kind of memories will they have of you in years to come? Do they see a dad who is not ashamed to seek the Lord? Do they see a dad who is not ashamed to bring Jesus into his house? Do they see a dad who is not afraid to trust the Lord with his family? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and the challenge to our hearts. And for those of us